Welcome to the quarterly audio series of North Group Consultants. We call this series Straightforward, and it's designed to provide you with direction for your future. In this edition, Roger welcomes his guest, Wilbur Rohr, CEO of Rohr's Quarry. Roger and Wilbur will be discussing Wilbur's leadership journey. Now from North Group Consultants, here's Roger North.
Over the course of a little more than 10 years in the leadership consulting business, I've had, along with my colleagues, the privilege of hearing the stories of many different businesses. And each one has its own unique story. And many of us that get around to different businesses in the course of our work are endlessly fascinated by the different stories that are out there and the different twists and turns, the dramas that take place in businesses. And we all know what the challenge is like to do business well. And then we go home to our families. And maybe the challenge is even greater, or perhaps should be greater, to do family well. And so most of us set out in one way or another to do both family well and business well. And then people come up with the idea of doing family business. And the challenge multiplies. To do family well, to do business well, and to do a family business well, probably one of the greatest challenges that exists out there in our world. And so it's been my privilege for over 10 years to be involved with a number of family businesses, no one of them in more depth than I've had the privilege to be involved with my good friend Wilbur Rohr and Rohr's Quarry of Lititz. Wilbur, welcome to Straightforward.
Good morning, Roger.
It's great to have you here, and I really think the appropriate place for us to start is for you to just give us a history of Rohr's Quarry, the long and storied history of Rohr's Quarry.
Rohr's Quarry goes back pretty far. It goes back to 1886, when it started as a limestone quarry by a Mr. Thomas Erb, and it was known then as Erb's Limestone Quarry.
In the location that still exists today?
You know, the existing pit is still there. We're no longer quarrying out of it, but it's still there, yes. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Erb owned it and operated it, and then he passed it on to his son, who was Thomas Erb Jr. And Thomas Erb Jr. knew my father and asked him if he would go in business with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so together they formed a partnership in 1937 and operated together as partners until 1959, when Mr. Erb retired and my father took over, and he rented himself until 1962, and at that point in time, he took my brother Donald and myself into the business with him. We changed the name to Rohr's Quarry and launched into a new business, and that was ready-mix concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a new beginning for us in a couple of ways. And then, of course, we progressed from there. In 1970, my father retired, and we got into the asphalt paving business.
There was a point there where it wasn't good for the quarry to be in the asphalt paving business anymore, correct?
That's right.
You were doing both concrete and asphalt and decided to get out of the asphalt piece.
Yes.
What was the thinking on that?
Well, the asphalt we got into in 1970, and we saw that we were competing with some of our customers, and we felt that that was not good. And so in 1992, after 22 years, we decided we will step out of the asphalt paving business. And that proved to be a good decision for us, because some of our largest customers today are some of the people we were competing with during our time as asphalt contractors.
So at some point you decided that supplying, you would call it aggregate, right?
Right.
To other asphalters and then competing against them for the same contract just wasn't good for business?
That's right. We prefer to stay in the role of a producer rather than a contractor.
Did you get feedback from your customers about that, or did you just kind of figure it out on your own, or what was that decision like?
Well, we knew that some of our customers who had been customers prior to our getting into paving simply told us that they won't buy from us anymore because we're competing against them. Some continued to buy but bought on a very limited scale.
So they were communicating with their pocketbooks.
That's exactly right, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so really it was a strategic decision, which remains to this day, to be a producer and not technically a contractor.
That's the way we've decided to go up to this point, and I don't see us changing that in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Coming back to the family theme, the business has a history back to 1987, but I guess we could make a case that it didn't become a family business till 1962, I think, was the year when your father invited you and Donald to join him in the business, and that's really the point at which it became a family business. So for you, you're really the third generation running the business, but the second generation from a family business standpoint. Would that be accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. And you and your brother Donald were then running the business along with your father for a short period of time, but really started running the business yourself when you were a relatively young man.
1970, Dad stepped down, and I got into it in 62, so I guess I would have been 26 years old. My brother and I took over the business ourselves.
Those must have been challenging times.
They were very challenging.
And Donald is 10 years older than you?
He's 12 years
12
old.
12 years older mm-hmm. than you, so he had a little bit of a head start there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, obviously, there's another generation of the business that's well engaged in the business, and you have four children, and Donald has four as well?
That's correct, yeah.
And maybe you could tell us a little bit about how those choices got made as to who's involved in the business and who's outside of the business in terms of family.
My brother had four daughters, and two of his son-in-laws became involved in the business. I don't know that they became involved thinking they would ever be owners. They simply got employment there and worked in different areas in the quarry.
Which came first, marriage or employment?
I believe marriage came first. They were involved and just kind of worked their way up and proved themselves yep. that they were good leaders and enjoyed the work they were involved in. And so they gradually worked their way into positions of responsibility. And then Donald offered them some ownership from his part of the business.
Which was part of a very careful succession strategy that you fellows have put together. And in that case, we're talking about Vernon Martin, who's married to Bonnie Rohrer Martin, one of Donald's daughters, as well as Chet Krause, who was married to Karen Rohrer Krause, another one of Donald's daughters.
That's correct.
Yes.
And from my side of the business, I had four children, two sons, and both of those sons are involved in the business. Two started working there and had to prove themselves that they were responsible persons and kind of moved their way up the ladder and all owners now, so mm-hmm. they are actually the third generation there that's working there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going well, but it's a family business, and that has its challenges. We're working our way through them.
Yes, and those are your sons, Tim and Travis, and you have two daughters as well, and they are not involved in the business.
That is correct, yes.
I think that having sons, and in the case of Donald, sons-in-law that were interested in the business is very much of a blessing, really, in terms of the way that you gentlemen wanted to take the business, because I think there's been a commitment for a long while for the business to remain in the family if, in fact, talented and interested members of the family are available. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. We put a lot of sweat equity into the business, and of course, you can sell the business, and then you have some cash to show for all the work you've done. We felt that we'd much rather pass that business on to our own family members if, in fact, they're interested in it. There's something very gratifying in seeing your sons or your son-in-laws being involved in what you have worked for many years to put there for them and seeing them taking it and moving it on to the next level. That's gratifying to me, and I'm sure it was to Donald as well.
I'm sure that continues as you watch your sons and Donald's sons-in-law express the same hope for the next generation. In fact, about 5 years ago, we did some considerable work looking at the direction that we wanted to take the business, and we ended up writing a vision statement and a set of values that drive decisions that are made in the corporation today. And the vision is to grow a viable, profitable business for the next generation of owners. And so we've worked pretty hard at starting to visualize what that would look like and to put some policies in place for the possibility that children will get to the point where they'll need to make a decision about entering the business. And I think between the four next generation owners, there's 13 children, I think. So we're hopeful that a few of those children will be attracted to the quarry business.
We're certainly hoping that that happens, and I think it will. That just gives us the availability of a lot more talent and ability to come into the company to help it grow.
Wilbur, I know that it had to be probably at least 15 years ago when you and Donald started talking about how we get succession in line in business. And I'm interested, because that predates my involvement in the business, I'm interested in just how you got started on those discussions and how you started to visualize a practical way to get ownership to the next generation.
Well, my brother Donald, of course, is 12 years older than I am, and so he was facing the thought of stepping out of the business mm-hmm. quite a bit before I was. He was thinking that he would like to sell the business. At that point in time, he wasn't sure that his son-in-laws were really interested in being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't really want to sell the business at that point in time because my children were just small.
Sure.
And I wanted to give them the opportunity. And we both agreed that we would give our children or in-laws the opportunity to become a part of the business. And if they didn't want to, then of course we would sell it.
That was a product of some conversation between you and Donald, because obviously selling the business to someone on the outside is a viable option. You have an asset there that other owners would potentially be interested in.
I would be very easily sold, but we did sit down and talk at length about that. As his son-in-laws became more involved in it, of course, he had less and less of a desire to sell that business mm-hmm. and wanted to see it moved on to them, if at all possible. And so we had to get some people involved, some attorneys and financial planners, to see just how do we go about doing that. That involves a lot of time, and of course you got to ask yourself some questions that you don't like to ask yourself.
Yes.
But you have to do that.
Uh-huh.
And I know there were some times we sat around those meetings and thinking that, boy, we could be doing something a whole lot more productive than this. But there you sat with an attorney, a financial planner, and a consultant, and they ask you all kinds of questions
yeah.
that you didn't have real good answers for, but it made you think and
yep.
made you work, and it does pay off in the end when you do that.
And I think you probably recognize that you had a number of choices that you can make about how you're going to do succession. Of course, one of those fundamental choices is, do we want to sell to somebody that we don't know, or do we want to do what is really the harder thing, and that's find a way to perpetuate the business internally, which is, of course, the route that you chose. And it's really a much more complicated route, and takes a lot more management and a lot more time and really a lot more planning.
The easiest way to move on would be to sell it to someone outside the business and get a check and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to pass it on to your family or someone you know or love, why, you usually don't get the top dollar for the business because
right.
you're trying to pass it on to them in a way that they can afford to get it. And you also stay on and help them run that business and try and give them the advantage of your expertise and your experience, but that keeps you involved, and that's good and it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You can't walk away from it as easily as if you would have sold the business to someone else.
And I think that's the point at which I had the privilege of getting involved with you. You and I had known each other through actually the prior business that I was in, probably since the early 90s. And in the late 90s, we got reacquainted and began to do a few small things here and there for the business. And then sometime in maybe 99 or early 2000, we started to have some conversations about leadership growth and succession and the next generation and how we might be able to engage in that. Can you think back a little bit to what your concerns were at the time about what you were capable of doing and what you might need some help with?
When it was just my brother and myself, it wasn't too difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Just two of us, you could sit down and talk about things and make decisions pretty easily. But when you started thinking of bringing two, three, four other people into the business, and now they're in-laws, you get a whole different set of dynamics there.
Yes.
And you get personalities that have to learn to work together. And we had two in particular who were very similar, very
mm-hmm.
strong persons. They didn't always get along the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finding that I was spending much more time than I felt I had to spend, or should have had to spend, just trying to arbitrate things between
mm-hmm.
the different potential owners. And I didn't feel I was really qualified maybe to do that as well as it should have been done. And so I started to look for some outside help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I came to you and asked for some help. And very, very happy that we did that. It was an interesting journey.
I remember the challenge you gave me.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I think I hired you for the first year. And then when it came time to renew your contract, I said, well, I'll renew your contract if you can get the four other owners interested in signing the contract.
I think you actually gave me a few jobs to do that were more short term, and we did them. And then you said, well, put a plan together for something that's longer term in terms of development for these men and helping them to grow as leaders and work together as a team. And I'll support it, but you have to get all four of them to sign on at the same time. And that was one of the bigger challenges of my consulting career, Wilbur, I have to tell you.
You did an excellent job. I wasn't sure you were going to convince all of them, but you did. And it was interesting, about 3 or 4 years later, the one that I thought we would have the most problem getting on board came to me and said, that's the best decision we ever made.
Well, I appreciate that. One of the great joys, really, of the business that we're in and the businesses we're privileged to be engaged with is just almost inevitably those people become your friends. And you and I have a great friendship that I'm very, very thankful for. And then with Tim and Travis and Vernon and Chet, we were able to develop friendships, but at the same time, they're productive and they're encouraging, I hope. And then those friendships get challenged. They get challenged by maintaining your perspective and your objectivity. And you and I work together to both affirm those men and challenging them at the same time. And then you kind of get drawn in. And I feel very much a part of your organization. And then you share in some of the emotions that take place. And our biggest challenge obviously occurred in September of 2005 when Chet died tragically in a motorcycle accident. And we had to deal with that in the business. You talk a little bit about that challenge and how we went about dealing with that. We were running the business with the four men, all with very defined areas of responsibility, and yet they had learned to work together very well. We meet as a leadership team every month for half a day and keep things humming that way, stay on the same page. And then we woke up one morning and one of those four men, a very, very talented man and a very committed person, was no longer with us.
Well, first we had to deal with the shock of it ourselves. He was a friend and relative, and you just could hardly believe it happened, but it did. And he had, of course, his widow to deal with, and we had to keep the business going.
Yes.
Because I know the next morning when people in the concrete department learned about it, there was shock on their part, and customers heard about it. And, of course, as in every situation like that, all kinds of rumors began to emerge immediately, you know, that, well, we're going to close down the concrete business because Chet was the only one who could run it. So we had to deal with first the grief and the shock that we were dealing with. Then we had to address the feelings of the employees there and let them know that Roar's Quarry is here, it's going to stay here, the concrete business is going to continue to be functioning, and we're going to try and make it function as well or better if we can. And of course, if we told them that, we had to have some idea of how we're going to do that. We did a lot of scrambling and tried to determine amongst ourselves who is going to take over the responsibility for that department, if we can split it out somehow, how we can do that, but we need to keep it functioning, and we had to come on to the employees as a very united group of people so that we could build their confidence that their job was not going to disappear. I think we did that reasonably well. We all worked together at it. It wasn't easy. Worked through that. And today, I think the concrete department is every bit as strong, if not stronger, than it was then. And that's not to take anything away from Chet.
It's to build on what he put in place, I think. If I could use a pun, it's to build on his foundation.
That's exactly right, yes.
I think one of the great challenges back then that we didn't even really know was going on, but really had to happen all in the course of a week or two, is we all had to, but you in particular, and Vernon and Tim and Travis, had to deal with the loss of a very dear friend. They were all very close to Chet. He was a man with a warmth about him, great interpersonal skill, and very much a partner and friend to each of them. And they had to deal with that loss of a friend. In the case of Vernon, a loss of a brother-in-law. We had to gather around Karen and her family, which is certainly appropriate. She's part of the Roar's family. At the same time, we had to communicate strength to the employees, strength to our business partners, strength to our customers. And somehow, in the course of a two-week period, that occurred, and we were able to move on. And I think a lot of that is a tribute to the strength that Chet built into that part of the company, and just saw a resolve in people that they weren't going to let that falter. And the tribute that the drivers gave to Chet in leading the procession that day from the church to the cemetery with spanking clean concrete trucks, I think, was something that he would have been very, very proud of.
It's 2 weeks of time I wouldn't want to have to relive. It was a real challenge, but I think we've come out of it a stronger company than we were before.
And I think it gives us confidence about the future, because we would have never made a specific plan. It wouldn't have been worthwhile to make a specific plan for what do we do if each person dies tragic at a young age. But the plans we made were to learn how to work together, to increase leadership capacity, because we wanted to grow the firm. We wanted to make it viable for our employees, wanted to make it the best for our customers, and we want to make it available to the next generation. And sometimes things impact on you that you're not expecting, and yet in an odd sort of way, you're prepared for them. And your boys, Travis and Vern and Tim, have stepped up to that challenge. In 2006, even without one of our greatest leaders, you had one of the best years, if not the best year, that the business has ever had. And I think that's a tribute to your planning and your leadership.
You can't plan for every situation. You do the best you can and hope that when that challenge comes, that you're up to the challenge. With God's help, we were able to do that.
Well, one of the great privileges that I've had is that you've allowed my firm and myself to walk with you through your organizational life and development. We've just begun our eighth consecutive year of working together. Could you talk a little bit from your perspective as CEO about the value of having a firm like ours walk with you through your organizational life?
In our business, everyone is pretty well involved in the day-to-day operations, except I have been able to step back from that to a point.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't careful, you're in that situation where you can't see the forest for the trees mm-hmm. because you're so deeply involved. And you need someone who can come from the outside and look at what you're doing from a different perspective. And that's what I look for you to do, and to look at what we're doing and challenge us. Why are you doing this? Why don't you do it a different way? Or did you think about this or that? If we don't have someone doing that, then I think we will stop growing. I just know how involved everyone is with their day-to-day work. And unless we have to sit down and talk about something, it will just get put off. And this way you challenge us to that. Mm-hmm. And you come to us with some new ideas, some of which we shoot down immediately, and then we pick up again
three or four years later.
Right. But we just weren't quite ready for that idea.
Sure.
And that's what growth is all about. You got to start somewhere and go from that point. I honestly believe without an outside consulting firm to work with us, we would not be anywhere near where we are today. We value that part of the business that you contribute to.
Thank you. One of the things that I've been really impressed with is the desire on the part of you and your sons and Donald's sons-in-law to invest not only in family ownership, but in the management of your company. You've built an excellent management team of 15 people, less than half of which are family, and you've made significant investments in them as well.
Well, a company is only as good as the people that you have working there, and that's a pool of knowledge that's there working for you. And so many times I think people fail to tap into that pool of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And if people feel that you care about them and you listen to what they say, they will contribute more and more. And of course, the more we can train them to be better at what they're doing, the better it's going to be for Roars Quarry. And it gives them more of a sense of ownership in the company, which of course then equates out to their probably putting forth more effort to try and do a better job because they're happy about what they're doing. They feel appreciated, and so they want to do a better job yet. And it's a win-win situation. You spend some money, but you get that money back many, many times over. And even more importantly than that, you see the individual person growing.
Yes.
That's as important to us as money in the bottom line. We all have to have a positive bottom line or we won't be around. But that's not the most important thing in a business, or at least it's not to us.
And it's more a byproduct of working at these other things that we've been talking about, and we've been fortunate that it's been a healthy byproduct over the last few years. And it's also allowed you to have some flexibility with respect to your professional life. In all the time that I've been involved with you, you've been the CEO of the company, but you're not there as often as most CEOs. Can you talk a little bit about the challenge of having more than one vocation, which you do?
Well, I've been involved in the Christian ministry for 23 years. I've been a pastor at Middle Creek Church of the Brethren, one of six pastors there. That, of course, involves a lot of time spent away from the business and visiting and ministerial work and sermon preparation and all the things that go along with that. And I've been able to get away from the business when I need to do those things, and that's been a real blessing. It's a challenge at times, but it's a blessing in that it enables me to step away from the business sometimes and look at it from a different perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
And really ask myself and the other owners some very serious questions. What are we here for? What is this business really all about? Are we really working in the right direction? So that we don't get caught up with the idea that everything we're working for is something that's material.
Yes.
It has enabled me through my life to keep a better perspective on life in general.
And remains challenging for you to keep all those things in balance. Your role as a husband, a father, a grandfather, a business owner and leader, and a pastor, and I think all of those things you handle better and better as you gain perspective as you get older, and you're very much a role model to many of us in those ways, and I thank you for that.
We try. That's all we can do. Try the best we can, and by God's grace, we do what He wants us to do.
Well, your trying is successful, and I thank you for the privilege of being involved with your business over these many years. I hope that we have a number of more years to develop and move the business forward. It's been a real learning experience as well as a privilege for North Group Consultants to be involved with you and to develop a relationship with your family. And I thank you for that, and thank you for being my guest today on Straightforward.
I've enjoyed it.
Have a great day, everyone.
North Group Consultants continues to provide direction for your future through sustained relationships. We identify issues by conducting assessments, provide assistance during organizational transitions, and develop leaders through coaching and accountability. As always, thank you for listening to Straightforward.